the scenes of Kansas State athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus, making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
K-State Nation, what's going on? This is another edition of the Purple Project Podcast, weekly edition. It's been a while since we did one of these, the Purple Project Podcast, all about Kansas State athletics. For those of you very new to the podcast or our current listeners that have been wondering what's been going on, yes, life's been crazy the last few weeks, but we finally are able to squeeze in the middle of a playoff run, a Purple Project Podcast episode. Before I bring on Alex on, of course, the Purple Project Podcast, find it wherever you get your podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, Amazon, the Purple Project Podcast. Coming off of a loss to Iowa State, and oh, by the way, had my reaction episode just came out earlier today, so that is up and ready for y'all listening pleasure as well. So Iowa State, of course, coming into the Bill Snyder over the weekend and pretty much won the football game. Let's go ahead and bring on my co-host, who lives out there, of course, in good old San Diego, California. Of course, even wondering where I'm living at, I live in Manhattan, Kansas. Alex Aiden. Alex, it's been a while. How you doing?
You know what, Eddie, you mentioned busy. I was thinking the other day, and I mentioned this before, but man, when we began this podcast, or when you began this podcast and asked me to co-host with you, man, we had nothing going on. Like, COVID was just really began. Everyone was working from home. You could not go out and do anything. We would come on this show. We didn't have any sports updates. We really didn't have many life updates because there just wasn't a lot going on. And boy, the way things have just completely done away, it has. There are so many sports things to talk about. I know that life is back to moving again. That's for darn sure.
Yep.
I was out of town last weekend, and then I have been bouncing around at a lot of different things that I've been having going on here the last month or so, and work has also been incredibly, incredibly busy. So, the fact that I'm here talking on a podcast makes me very happy, Eddie. It makes me very happy that I can do that. I finally had my first free weekend this last weekend, Eddie.
Nice.
Oh, so nice. So nice to have my first free weekend, even though K-State was a nice big old let down there to end a Saturday night. But I do want to say we have a lot to talk about in the football world, especially with K-State. I do want to say, after six games, K-State has done exactly what I said they would do in our preseason predictions. I had them going 3-0 in the non-con, and I had them losing these first three conference games, and then I had them winning the next five before losing at Texas. So I'm 6-6 halfway into the season. I don't think, Eddie, I'm going to go 12-12. Although at this point, I would welcome it with open arms if I could go 12-12 in my prediction form. But the truth of the matter is, the K-State, Eddie, I've gotten all six games right on what I thought would happen, but it has not happened the way I thought it would happen. If right. That makes any sense, it has. It has been a wild ride to you know, the Skyler injury to whatever the hell you want to call it that happened in Stillwater, although Oklahoma State looks really legit now. And then you come home and y'all beat Oklahoma, and then you come home and you think you're feeling better about yourself maybe a little bit, and Iowa State rolls in and you just lay a complete egg coming off of a bye week. It's just been quite an interesting journey for it just exploded, and I don't know why. Usually when I tweet, Eddie, my tweets get, I don't know, a like, a retweet, maybe a like, two likes and a retweet or something. But I have a tweet that has, like, over 20 responses. It has, like, over 5 quote tweets. It has over, like, 60-some likes. I had people arguing with me left and right about my take, and it wasn't even a confusing take. All I said was that it was a little premature, the calls for Coach Kleiman. And I can get on board with people calling for Corey Messingham and Joe Klanderman, more so Messingham than Klanderman.
Yeah, right. Yep.
I can't get on board with the Kleiman thing yet. Like, we have to wait to see what happens these next 6 games before I can even think about it, to be 100% honest with you. And K-State fans just went crazy, Eddie. K-State fans, remember who you are. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I really, really do not mean that in a bad way. All I mean is we're not Alabama. We're not Oklahoma. We're not Clemson. As much as I wish we're not. And it's going to be a slower process. Things aren't going to just turn and burn. You're not just going to turn and burn wins out like those programs do. I mean, you're just not going to do that. It seems like the bar and the expectation for K-State fans is a little unrealistic. And don't get me wrong, Eddie. I'm sure we'll get more into this. Is Coach Kleiman underachieving? Heck yeah, he's underachieving right now. 100%.
I agree. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you just call for their head 2.5 years out. And what amazes me the most is most K-State fans are just glossing over the fact that he went 8-4 with a talentless roster year one. I mean, I don't know how you can just forget that, especially when you look at what they did the year prior. In Bill Snyder's final year, they just looked horrible that year. So it's like K-State fans just want to forget that, and they just want to focus on that COVID season without Skylar, and just focus on the first half of this season. And yes, there's a bunch of red flags. Yes, K-State fans, I get that. But let's just see how the last 6 games go, because we knew that the first half of the schedule was loaded. And I told you, Eddie, if K-State started 3-3 or 2-4, it could get ugly. And guess what? It's beginning to get a little ugly. So, message to K-State fans, and we'll get into it more. Let's just see how it goes against Tech, okay? Let's just see how it goes. You know, they've got some winnable games coming up. Let's just see how they go. And they've got a chance to get some good wins. Baylor looks really good. If they can beat Baylor at home, that'd be a good win. They still got a chance to go on the road to Texas and win. I mean, they still have opportunities to get wins like that. So let's just see how the final 6 games go, people, before we hit the red panic button. And by the way, if anyone has seen the buyout numbers of Coach Kleiman's contract, it doesn't matter what the hell he does the next 6 games. He's coming back next year, so just forget it. Like, if anyone who thinks he's going to lose a job at the end of the year is just, they're playing wrong, Eddie. But anyway, I've got that soapbox off my chest. Let's talk football, Eddie.
Yeah, and I'm gonna kind of stay on that here for a second. Yeah, I kind of said I've already kind of said what I had to say on the recent latest episode that just came out. As I said on the top of the podcast, yeah, that if K-State trends this way, then more sharks are gonna gather. But for those of you actually that aren't kind of trying to get a clue of what Alex is talking about, I got Alex's tweet pulled up on my laptop here. So I'm gonna go with this. Alright, so Alex said, and dang, I didn't know you got 78 likes, 18 comments, 6 retweets on this. So I get
What happened? So how did that trend?
So here's what Alex said. Tweeted on Saturday. He said, I get that K-State fans panic and frustrated. That's what we just talked about. And it is deserved. This isn't acceptable, but it's too early to call for Kleiman to go. Now I'm here to call for Messingham and Klanderman, but not Kleiman yet. That's what you tweeted at. So dang, I didn't know you got a lot of responses on that and 18 comments. I'm gonna have to go down here and read this.
Yeah, wait till you see those comments, Eddie, because a lot of them are people saying to me like, "What the hell are you talking about? Are you kidding?" I'm like, what? Are you serious? Like, I didn't expect it, Eddie. It kind of took me off guard a little bit, the response. But first off, the fact that went viral, I don't know how it did. But second off, the fact that it was people that didn't agree with it just baffled my mind. And I really didn't think K-State fans would. I don't know, Eddie. A lot of K-State fans want to go. I don't know. I don't get it. I knew it would get ugly. I didn't know it would get that ugly that way.
Yeah. So, man, yeah. So, obviously, yeah. And I actually had a comment in there also. Messing him, like I said, in past episodes, that, yeah, he needs to go. I'm not there with Joe Klineman just yet, but, you know, I talked about in my reaction episode. That obviously, you can go back and listen to that. But, you know, that defense, you know, it's it's kind of gone back to the way Bob Hayes used to run them.
Yes.
All type of yardage. And let's just start right there with the defense. And I'm sure you have comments on this too. But the defense, and you mentioned the heavy hitters already. We're past them now. But there was a wide-eyed stat that Kelis Robinette and Ryan Black also had something to say about this too. The quarterbacks. And we know that Spencer Rattler, he has his own issues right now. He sat out for Caleb Williams. OU making a quarterback change there. So that's for a preseason Heisman candidate. Yeah, that fall has turned very quickly there on that end. That's a whole nother podcast there. But Rattler, Spencer Sanders, and throw Brock Purdy in the mix. Because Brock Purdy did whatever he wanted to do with this K-State defense, which, oh, by the way, you know, had their way with three non-con opponents. All three of them looked pretty good in non-con, right? And everybody said, oh, the lynch mob, all that other stuff, blah, blah, blah. But now, Iowa State, it just was uninspired. And I'm going to say what I said in that episode. It was uninspiring, and maybe again because from my view to seats, the Braves are on this incredible run right now, but it just didn't feel inspiring football all the way around to me. So I don't know how I'm interested in what you have to say about the Iowa State performance, but you're coming off of a damn bye week, and you play like that. I just don't understand. And on top of that, you give up a 75-yard touchdown on the opening possession. I believe it was the first play of the game because I tuned in late because our live stream was 15 minutes behind, so I had to reset it. Next thing I know, it's already 6-0 Cyclones. Yep. Like, what? What's going on? And then I saw the replay. Brees Hall, arm tackles.
That was just so bad on so many levels, that defensive play. Everyone was out of position. Everyone. How do you... Two guys went to the same spot. I'm like, my gosh, are I watching the Chiefs? Like, I'm trying to get away from that. What do you... What is this? Like, I don't know what that was, but I will give you quickly, Eddie, my defense...
Go ahead.
...synopsis for that. We can dive more into the Iowa State game up here, too, but... Defensively, just a quick note, the defense seemed to fall apart once Khalid Duke and Bronson Massey got hurt. And I think that not having Khalid Duke, not having Bronson Massey, I think it was really, really affected what K-State wanted to do with their three-man front, with their 3-3-5-D. Or their 3-4, or whatever they were doing. But what they were doing with that three-man front, I think losing Khalid Duke, losing Bronson Massey, I think it really, really just kind of blew that whole thing up because they were so dependent, especially on Khalid Duke because of how versatile defensive line.
Yeah.
And it should make Casey way, way more predictable because they can't do what they wanted to do defensively. I think that's part of the problem. That's not the entire problem, obviously. But I think that that's a big part of the problem. But here's the thing. What that means is that's a problem in and of itself that we've talked about before of K-State not being deep enough. You can't put all your eggs in one basket defensively and say, well, gosh, hope this, you know, we're putting all our eggs in this basket of the three-man D, but it's only going to work if Khalid Duke is healthy. Like, that's, you can't do that. You know what I mean? You can't do that. It looked great. It looked fantastic. But Khalid Duke goes, tears his ACL, or whatever he does. I think it goes to torn ACL.
Mm-hmm.
Bronson Massey gets hurt. You ruin your front. You can't do what you wanted to do. You don't have the versatility. You don't have the athleticism. You don't have the speed. You don't have the things that you need to run that defense. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, crap, we don't have anyone who can do what Khalid Duke can do. Well, oh, crap, we don't have anyone in this roster that can do what Bronson Massey can do. So now your defense just falls apart. So that's a problem. And it's a problem because it means you're not recruiting at the level you need to recruit. You're not bringing in the talent and the depth that you need. I think that that is a big problem with the defense. And you mentioned it, Eddie. I think that it's a lack of focus. I think that you're seeing uninspired play. And you saw Malice taking. You saw a defense that just was not... It was just not very inspired, not very inspired defense. And look, you're getting some underperforming. You know, there's some guys underperforming right now on that defense, especially mm-hmm. in that secondary.
Yep.
We talked about that
yep.
secondary
mm-hmm. yep.
and what they could do. There's some guys that simply are not playing up to their level of play. Julius Prince has been disappointing.
He's not look good. He don't look good.
That's just the truth of the matter there. And what we were seeing from that linebacker group, it's not what it was. It's not what it was in the beginning of the season. Don't get me wrong. They're still getting some good play there at times, but they're struggling there, and they're struggling to get pass rush, and they're just struggling to do what they want to do, and they just don't seem to have the athletes really execute what they want to do, and then they just don't look motivated. And it just, that's what happened. It's too easy. The last two games, Eddie, Spencer Rattler and Brock Purdy, you combine them, they're 44 for 50 against this defense. 44 for 50. The last two games, each quarterback went 22 and 25 against this defense. That is a problem. That is a problem.
That's Bob Hayes defense. Bob Hayes defense.
Exactly. I'm sorry. That's the first thing that comes to my mind as well. It is Tom
Hayes. Oh, Tom, and, sorry. I apologize. Tom Hayes. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and it's just like, come on. Like, that's not, you know, Chris Kleiman, he's supposed to be a defensive coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got Klanerin here. We were raving on Klanerin. He took over as the defensive coordinator position. I understand you're undermanned. I understand you've lost some guys. I understand you don't quite have the depth that you want. But it's still unexcusable. It's still unexcusable for the defense to make the mistakes that it's made. We've seen issues tackling. We've seen guys take bad angles. We've seen bad assignments. We've seen breakdowns. We've seen a lot of things that are fixable and things that you don't need to have athleticism to do, you know? And just mistakes that shouldn't be being made on the defense. So I think that's what's happening there, Eddie. And I was thinking, you mentioned they were uninspired. And offensively... You know, we'll dive into this also more later, but there seems to be an issue with quarterback development in this program. there isn't any. I mean, there's no QB development going on in this program. And I'll take it one step further, Eddie. There's a problem with the receivers. I don't know what is going on with the receiver room. I don't know why this coaching staff cannot get receivers to go make contested catches. Go make contested catches. I don't understand what it is, but the receivers, and I don't want to call them soft, because they're not soft, but I don't understand what's up with why a receiver can't go up and get a 50-50 ball, why the receivers can't consistently catch the football, why are there so many drops, why can the receivers not be so physical? I just don't understand why we're not seeing that type of play out of the receiving group and the receiving corps. And I don't know what that speaks to, but it's a problem. It's a problem that needs to be fixed. The quarterback thing and the receiver thing. Those are problems that go beyond just this season, obviously. Those are things that they're going to have to figure out long-term. But I don't know. I don't know what's up with those two. The offensive line, they show they can develop an offensive line. They show they can develop good running backs. But I don't know what it is with QBs and receivers. They just can't. They can't get it. And to be 100% honest, this coaching staff's kind of been bailed out by the fact they've had Skyler. To be quite frank, they had him sitting there when they got there. And they've taken advantage of it. But if they didn't have Skyler Thompson, I mean, they'd be running out Will Howard right now.
You can't do much better. So
that's a problem. But to just put a bow on all of this, Eddie, offensively against Iowa State, play calling predictable, drops, you know, no sense of urgency on the offense, you know, mistakes. Penalties, and to be 100% honest, Eddie, that was just a complete dud. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, that was a dud that they laid against Iowa State, coming off of a bye week, completely inexcusable.
No excuse.
I will go as far as saying, I'm gonna put this. I'm not gonna say this is Chris Pyman's worst loss because I still think that it's that West Virginia game.
That's West Virginia. Nah. Yep.
But I'm going to put this probably at number two. And the only reason I'm going to put it at number two is, and I'd be tempted to put some games from last year there, but I'm not because it was COVID and it was a really weird year. But there's no excuse for this. You're coming off of a bye. That was a game that this coaching staff circled, and they wanted it. They wanted that game. And for you to have 2 weeks to prepare, and that's the product that you put on the field, that's ridiculous. That's just utterly ridiculous. There's no excuse for it. Absolutely not. I don't care that Iowa State is good. Iowa State is good. They're a top 20 football program, in my opinion. But there's no excuse for you to put on the product on the field that you did after having to buy, after 2 weeks to get ready to prepare, right before you came, and then to do that. I mean, I understand why fans are frustrated. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's unacceptable. Like I said in my tweet, that's unacceptable. And not calling for Coach Klein to get fired, okay? Don't read into that, people. But that's unacceptable. It is. And that just can't happen, period. And if you continue to do that, then we might be having a different discussion. But for the moment, I'm just going to stick with that's unacceptable.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Alex Aiden, Eddie Greer, this is the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition. It's been a couple weeks since we did one of these. Off to a fun start here. Yeah, I'm fascinated about how you got so many responses on this tweet. But speaking, you say you're 6-for-6 on your predictions. I am 5-6, and this is the game that I picked K-State to win, and K-State failed me. They just failed me. And shout out to reading these comments here while you were talking about it. Yeah, and shout out to @PKFox. He says that I'm not gonna climate allows this blank. This bleep. The team wasn't close to ready to play, and that's on the head coach. I agree with you 100%.
I agree 100%
on that. 2 weeks now. Again, if this was another, you were coming off an emotional win, like it happens in college football. We see this in college football every single year. You have a letdown. Maybe I'll let you have a little pass there, but you had 2 weeks.
K-State against West Virginia that first year. First time and out of lockdown.
Yep. Yeah, you had 2 weeks to prepare for Iowa State, and you put this park on the field. And this is how bad I've been paying attention, because I didn't even realize they had a 3-3-5 defense out there on the freaking K-State on the field.
Well, I don't know if it was 3-5. I don't know exactly what the alignment was. three-man front D that they didn't tell anybody about. Then they ran it out there. And then it turns out they spent all that time working on it in the offseason. They look great. They look fantastic in that three-man D. And then...
Look,
Massey gets hurt, the defense falls apart. And I'm like, well... And then Coach Bond was like, yeah, you know, really, really affected us losing Billy Duke. You know, he was really like our kind of our linchpin in that three-man D because he was so versatile. I'm like, well, that's a problem. I mean, you put all your eggs into a basket of a defensive end. I hope he didn't get hurt. Now he got hurt for the year, and what? So we're just sitting here screwed? I mean, that speaks to a different problem of you not recruiting to the level that you need to recruit, not having the depth that you need to have the program. Because, yes, it's K-State. It's difficult to recruit. It's difficult to build depth. And K-State's not going to do that at the level other schools do. But you can't have your defense just crumble because you lose your defensive end and it ruined your entire
You can't let that happen. You can't let that happen. Just because there's two stars, Bronte Massey's supposed to be coming back at some point, maybe this week or next week. Khalid Duke, obviously, for those of you who don't know, been living under a rock. He tore his ACL against Nevada. Huge loss, obviously. But again, it's next man up. This next man up mentality that you teach your kids, that you install your kids to be ready if something were to happen to your starter or whatever, right? You're a head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coach, any type of coach, you got to teach your other kids, if you're not starting, right? Obviously, we talked about transport and all that other stuff, but we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about backups, the second string. You have to be ready to play if the guy in front of you gets hurt. You can't be butt hurt that you're not starting. And the other thing that's on my mind is K-State had a lot of depth. I thought K-State had a lot of depth on the defensive front. And you had plenty.
What we
talked about on this podcast I thought we had a lot of depth up front. Offensively and defensively. I mean, we had two deep at least, maybe more than that. And to have guys not ready to play, yeah, there's just no excuse for that. And to play like that, just letting in it secondary, that's ooh, the secondary, they have not played very well. And it's probably good. This Texas Tech game coming up this weekend, Saturday, 11 a.m., FS1, oh, by the way. This is a big game. I said this on the reaction episode, again, for those of you who want to listen to that, it's up for the up there, ready to go for you guys, as well as this podcast. This episode will be out on Thursday at some point, but prior to the Texas Tech game. But again, if you play like that, and I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to Texas Tech, I don't know if you haven't or not, but they have two wins in conference play, which I didn't know about until checking up on the standings. It was last night, just up trying to see where everybody is in the conference. And Texas Tech has two wins. And K-State, one of three teams, you do not have a conference win. So it goes back full circle to what you said, talked about, Alex. These next few games are important. And your defense has to be right at some point. At some point, somebody has to step up and play well. And you're not going to get that if you're putting that type of product out there. And I mentioned on the reaction show that I don't know if it's a Scotty Hazleton effect or whatnot, but you just can't play like that, come off a bye. There's just no weaving around it. There's no going a long way around it. You got to go straight to the point. And Chris Klieman did not have his guys ready to play at all. Now, going back over, switching over to the offensive side real quick, and... That's an interesting point there. I was thinking about this a little bit too. The quarterback situation. Yeah. If Skylar wasn't here or still here at quarterback, yeah, we'd be a whole lot of trouble. Now, obviously, we've had our adventures at quarterback for, it seems like, forever, even with Skylar Thompson here at the quarterback position. But Will Howard, he's been up and down. We've seen Lewis this year, quarterback. He's had some big, yeah. some failing points tier two, and the only hype man quarterback is Jake Rubley to this point for this for this coaching staff. What is this? This is the third year this coaching staff's been at K-State. Yeah,
year three.
So yeah, that's an interesting point that you bring up. The quarterback situation, which is a good transition over to the offensive side of the ball there. Skylar Thompson threw the ball very well against Oklahoma a few weeks ago. I thought, for me, in my opinion, that was the best performance him throwing the football, because obviously he's limited without, with, he's still trying to get better with his knee. And I was at the Oklahoma game, and he threw the ball exceptionally well. Now, at Iowa State game, he kind of referred back a little bit to being old. Skylar misses some guys, and he got intercepted once, but he did throw two touchdown passes, so that is good on that end. But yeah, when Skylar leaves, it's up in the air. It's a free fall on that quarterback spot, and with the recruiting that you talked about, you kind of mentioned, Alex. I don't think, yes, K-State, middle of Kansas. I don't want to go there. And you're especially not going to go there if K-State continues to lose. Especially, kind of high hopes with Chris Klieman, you know, coming off of all these national championships and whatnot with North Dakota State. You come to a Power 5 conference, and we did overachieve first year. That was a some year. We had a lot of bright moments in it, and of course, obviously, that bowl game was something else against Navy there. But since then, I mean, obviously you had the COVID year last year. A lot of people hung on that, and then where are you going to hang on it this year? You know, find another excuse? I mean, at some point, you have to look at yourselves and say, hey, look, we got to start as coaches, well, not me, the K-State coaching staff, they have to find a way, and maybe this is the wrong word, but I'm going to use it anyways, to motivate your team. I mean, that's a perfect example. That coming off that bye week that K-State just had, that's a perfect example right there. This is your rival. Farmageddon, everything, you're at home, you have everything right there, and you come out and play like absolute garbage. this is oh my goodness. But yeah, I mean,
where was the juice against Iowa State that we saw in the Oklahoma game?
Exactly. Yes.
That's what I want to know. And what makes no sense, and I apologize in advance if you hear me, my cat keeps, I think she keeps getting into things. So if you're getting up or kicked in or something like that, you might have already heard it. I apologize. But it came out against Oklahoma. Great energy.
Absolutely.
Did the defense play well? No, it didn't. But did they look uninspired? No, they didn't. They were at least, you know, they at least stopped Oklahoma after the Jacoby Wright turnover and held them to a field goal there. And they got a couple stops. I think they got an interception at 1 point second half there. So they did force turnover, and like I said, they didn't play well. They did not play well at all. But they had some juice. They at least had some juice and were making some things happen. And offensively, you mentioned, I mean, they were moving up and down the field. But practically, it will, it felt like, against that Oklahoma defense. And is Oklahoma's defense as good as Iowa State's defense? I don't know. Iowa State's got a really good defense. But still, regardless, that team had energy that day against Oklahoma, and really, to be quite frank, really probably deserved to win that game.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Iowa State, they looked flat, just completely flat, which makes no sense because you lose that game to Oklahoma, and you've got 2 weeks to prepare for Iowa State, which you're thinking, okay, we lost Oklahoma, we have got to have this game against Iowa State, this is Armageddon. Like, they beat us 45-0 last time we played them, and all week our players talk about, oh, we didn't forget that. We didn't forget they beat us 45-0. Well, it sure as hell looked like you forgot, because you had had no sense of urgency on the football field. Like, none. Zero. Skylar Thompson did. Skylar Thompson did have some urgency. I will tip my cap to him. He's a warrior. He went out. His knee was hurting. He battled. He fought. He did that all game. And you know what? I give the running backs credit. Deuce fought. He battled. Joe Irvin, he fought. He battled. Those two, all those three guys busted their tails on offense. And I will not lump them into that category. Or the hell sense urgency from everyone else. I mean, seriously, where was the sense urgency aside from those three guys? It just was not there. And, you know, Phillip Brooks. I love Phillip Brooks, Eddie. He's one of K-State's most reliable guys. You can't drop that ball on third and six, whatever it is there, and opening up the second half. Like, that's a play he makes all the time. That's just lack of focus. You know, you've got to hold that ball in. I'm period. You know what I mean? And Malik, that was a bad throw by Skylar, but it still went through his hands. You gotta go. I'm not saying Malik needs to catch every difficult ball. No. That's not what I'm saying. Malik looks better this year.
Yes.
I give him credit for that.
Mm-hmm. He's looked better. Better, a lot better.
The one thing Malik has not done this year is catch the tough ball. Make the difficult catch. We just haven't seen him do that. And you don't need to make every difficult catch, but you got to make some. And another ball, it's high. He has to jump up to go get it, but it still goes through his hands. Turns into an interception. Like, you got to find a way to make a play like that. Against Oklahoma State, in the end zone. Opening drive. See a ball go, you know, he had, once again, jumps up. Ball, can't quite hold on to it in the end zone. He does get hit. It is a high throw, but it hits his hands. We've seen too many balls hit his hands that he just has not hauled in. And at some point, you've got to make those plays. I mean, you just got to make those plays. And so, you know, we just need more sense of urgency. I mean, we just need more sense of urgency from these guys, guys that are not named Skylar, Deuce, or Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We have seen consistently go out and play with a lot of effort, a lot of energy. And that's really the key. And it's just inexcusable to come off of a bye and to do that, to do what K-State did. And now, you know, kind of to flip the script, you go to this Texas Tech game, and this is a big game. I think this game's going to tell us any more than probably any game yet this season. To see the way that this team comes out against Texas Tech will tell us a lot, because the Iowa State game was the first game this season where you really could tell, like, coaching staff was like, they're ticked. Players are ticked. Like, they're not happy. They're not happy. They didn't expect this. They, you can kind of see that, and you can hear that. So what do you do about it? What do you do about it against Texas Tech? A team that's won five games. They're already one game away from being bowl eligible. They've won two conference games already. Granted, one was against KU. But one was a really nice tail whipping of West Virginia. So
Yep.
What do you do? Are you able to go to Tech and dig deep and show some adversity and go get a win, and to, you know, I don't care how the heck they get the win. Just go get a win.
Just
and
win. Say, I don't care about the
win. At this point. Just go win. Just go get a win. I mean, can they do that? Can they go to Tech? Can they go get a win? And can they play with energy? Can they fix the mistakes that they've been making? I mean, this game is going to tell us a lot, and I'm definitely eager to see that. And just one final note, the quarterback thing. I want to loop back to that. You mentioned, you kind of piggybacked off what I said.
I did.
And here's the deal with quarterback. Jake Rubley, obviously a high recruit, four-star recruit. I think he's the highest star recruited quarterback K-State's had since Josh Freeman. I think I'm right. I want to say Josh Freeman. I could be wrong. Point being, one of the higher star recruited quarterbacks K-State had in a while. And that's great. You're able to recruit a guy like that. That's a good thing. But we just have not seen any proof of quarterback development since Coach Klein has been here and his staff. And the reason behind that, I don't know. But you cannot run, and this is no offense to Will Howard, it really is, but you can't run Will Howard out if you're starting a quarterback next year. You just can't. You just can't do it, Eddie. And so I don't know what K-State needs to do. I don't know if Jake Rulli could be ready next year to be the guy.
That's a good question.
You know, can he be there? I mean, can Will Howard really take a step and be the guy? I don't know. Not after this year. I just don't think that's his thing.
It's our fault. We hyped them up too much.
I'll tell you what they need. What I think they need to do, Eddie. I think they need to go get a guy in the transfer portal. That's what I think they need to do. I think that they're going to need to go get, because I don't think Jake Rubley is going to be ready next year. I get it wrong. But I don't think Jake Rubley is going to be the guy. I do think he can eventually be the guy. I don't think next year he'll be ready. I don't think Will Howard is the guy.
So let me ask you this. You think will Jaren Lewis be ready next year?
No. I'm sorry. There's no offense to Jaren Lewis. I don't think Jaren Lewis is the guy. I don't think Will Howard's the guy. I don't think you want either one of them being your starting quarterback going into day one. I don't think that is a recipe for success in the Big 12 Conference. I think either Jake Rubley's ready, which I don't think he will be, or you have got to go get a guy in the transfer portal, Eddie. And I think they just need to go get a guy in the transfer portal. I'll just cut to the chase, Eddie. I think that's what they need to do. We talked about this quarterback room and this crowded QB room. The problem is no one's developing in that QB room. So, hey, that's great that they've got these recruits. That's great that they've got this talent in there, but it's not developing in anything. And if it doesn't develop in anything, you can't throw it on the field and expect to win football games. You know, K-State is lucky as heck right now that they have Skyler. They really are. And you've got to do something. And like I said, I just don't think that next year's answer is in the quarterback room right now. I think you've got to go out. I think you've got to get a guy in the transfer portal. Maybe it's a grad senior. Maybe it's a JUCO transfer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know, but I think that you need to go get an experienced guy who has started football games at the college level and had success. And you got to ride with them. And I think that you've got to do that until Jake Rubley is ready. Unless Jake Rubley is able to develop and he is ready to go game one next year. And if he is, then okay, you know, let's see. But the last thing I would want to happen to Jake Rubley is kind of what we saw happen with Will Howard. And I don't know if Will Howard has run out there too soon or not. And granted, Jake Rubley is a high recruit. He's a higher recruit than Will Howard. I think he's got more skill. I think he's got more ability. Clearly, he has more skill and ability. He's a higher level recruit. But it's just not going to matter if you don't develop him. So you've got to make sure that he is properly developed before you throw him out on the football field. And if you don't think he can be ready, you got to go get a guy in the portal. Or you got to go get a JUCO transfer. You got to go do something. Because, you just can't run out what they have now. And, Eddie, if they can't fix the quarterback problem, and if they have just a huge hole at quarterback next year, then that's going to be a big problem for his coaching staff. It really will be. Because if you can't develop fewer quarterbacks in college football, that's a big, big problem. Big, big problem. But it makes no sense, Eddie, because Coach Klieman has developed Carson Wentz, Easton Stick, two guys that are playing in the NFL. So he's done it before. And it makes you think, well, okay, he could do it again. But we're just not seeing it. And you'd think if you could develop a quarterback in North Dakota State, you could develop one at K-State. You'd think. But it just hasn't happened.
Man, we are throwing haymakers here on this episode of Pro Pocket Podcast. Eddie Greer,
Alex Aiden.
Yeah, and I'm just so fascinated with this tweet. You know, I'm going to, at some point this week, I'm going to go comment on this tweet and tell everybody on this thread
that goes into this episode this week, because there is some... We've touched on almost about everything. You said quarterback development is alarming. And I'm going to add on to this. And that's quite kind of been thinking about while you're talking about it. You have now, he's kind of been overseeing the offense a little bit, but you have a former Heisman finalist. And I'm not trying to circulate anything there. Colin, who was a pretty good quarterback in his own right there. So very, very interesting there. Nobody's really developing. And it goes back to what I said at some point in one of the previous episodes of the Triple P. About the quarterback position, right? And I stole this comment from one of the podcasts I like to listen to. I think it was Herm Edwards that said, he was a guest on the podcast, and he said, you don't have a quarterback, that field can be twice as long as it already is. And that's how it's going to look like next year if nobody steps up to the plate and starts doing better. I kind of like the fact that, you know, I'm kind of rooting now. You saying that going to the transfer portal and getting yourself a QB, that's quite possible too, which I agree with that. But I'm also at the same time hoping that Jake Rubley, now again, we don't want him to rush too soon, but if he's a fast learner and get himself up to speed, obviously there were reports earlier this year that he was obviously not ready to play and that it was too fast for Jake Rubley. Now, you have all offseason, all spring ball, Lord willing, all offseason, spring ball, you have summer ball, and fall practice. So, I'm hoping, in my opinion, that Jake Rubley takes a few steps forward and gets a little bit more competitive and challenges Will Howard for that spot and Jaren Lewis. And, or I'll go as far as says who comes out of that transfer portal if they were to get a quarterback out of that transfer portal, if we get lucky. So, it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, Spencer Rattler. He's transferred from Oklahoma. He's going to K-State.
Oh, gosh. I don't want him on my team.
Trust me.
I do not want him on my team.
You would never go to K-State.
Nah, no way. No way. Shout out here to @dubs964. We talked about the coordinators a little bit tonight. Messing him is awful. Ask any Iowa State fan. The fact that he keeps getting high-level jobs is incredible. He had 14 likes on that. And yes, he had a questionable call.
I'm pretty sure I like that, yeah.
He had a questionable call, and I'm going to go ahead and like that as well, here on the Pro Project Podcast, as we're recording it on late Monday night, 10 o'clock Central Time. I don't know what time it is out there.
8:02, Eddie. It is
8:02. 8:02, all right, there we go. Yeah, and Messingham continuing. And the other thing, I don't want to spoil the reaction too much, but the other thing I said was the fact that we're down big and we're running the football. And it goes back to the receivers. Now, I mean, yes, Malik has improved this year. I'll give him that. But not having, it goes back to what you said a little bit a while ago, not having that big play wide receivers other than Malik. Now, Phillip Brooks, I love him too. He's continuing to progress. Yes, he had that drop ball, but he's been making big plays.
He made especially a touchdown catch in that Iowa State game.
Yes, he did. He had a touchdown in that. Even though he dropped the pass, he had a touchdown catch in that. He led. Yeah, Malik Knowles and Deuce Vaughn, all of them had three catches. Now we're down 27-7. Kind of circle back to Courtney Messingham. We're down freaking 27-7, and we're still. And no offense to Deuce Vaughn or Joe Irving, because they were doing their best, and rightfully
they
so.
The offense.
Yeah, why are we still running the ball when we're down 20 points? I don't understand. And he had a questionable call on 2nd and 13. You're running a hurt quarterback.
Oh gosh.
That was terrible. That was a terrible decision to put your star quarterback at risk there. I do not know what he was thinking right there.
Idiotic, Eddie. I'll just be honest. That was idiotic.
So, I don't know. And the fact that, yeah, he messes him, chokes against his former team yet again.
Why would you think a quarterback with a partially torn PCL could run like a read option or whatever the heck he was trying to run with him? That makes no sense. Oh, we saw something on film. What Coach Pond said, we saw something on film that we thought we could exploit there. Or, you know, we saw something on film that, you know, we thought there might be something there. What? If you want to run something like that, just put Will Howard in the game. Like, seriously.
Yeah, I thought we were going to be doing this whole let's protect Skyler. What happened to that? Yeah, what happened?
Seriously, if you want to run that play, put Will Howard in and just run it with him. Like, seriously, don't even screw with that with Skyler, because what makes you think, you're expecting Skyler to have a burst of speed on the outside with his partially torn PCL that he was limping on at the end of the game and his big old brace that's half the size of his knee? Like, no, that makes no sense. I understand that Skyler needs to be able to run the ball, and for that the opponent has to respect his run game. And yes, that is true. But not that type. Not that. Like, not that. That's not the way to do it. I mean, the way to do it, look, run like a bootleg with like a read, with a run pass option, or run like a QB draw that he can, you know, he can get down and avoid contact, or run just an RPO where, you know, some look that you can get him to bite on deuce that might be able to get him free to get a few yards and he can fall down. But don't do that, like, that little option play. And that's just, no. And look, he shouldn't even be running, period, right now.
Should not be running.
I mean, let's just put it that way. He shouldn't be running. And if they want quarterback run, they need to put Will Howard in. I get it. They need to respect the run game. They need to respect his run game a little bit. And that's true. That is true. But it wasn't just that he ran the ball, Eddie. It was the play. It was the play call. It was that little option play. Like, there are so many better run plays that you can do as well that are so much safer and oh gosh, that was just horrible. And I don't want to pile on this Corey Messing game, but we're just seeing the same problems we've seen this entire podcast. Eddie, you know it. It's predictable, and he's putting players. He's just, I can tell you, I mean, it's the same thing. It's just the same thing. I mean, I can tell you before the play what he's going to do, and then he does it. It doesn't work. Then they punt. And, by the way, where's aggressive Kleiman? Like, he was really aggressive in the Oklahoma game. It worked on offense. Where was that? Like, where was that in the Iowa State game? Going for it on those fourth down, being aggressive on offense. And final bone I have to pick. You've got a talent, Deuce Vaughn. I mentioned this last year. You've got a talent in Deuce Vaughn. A once-in-a-decade-type talent, I'm going to say. You may not see a talent like him in a KC uniform until, 2030. I mean, look at the way you're just wasting it. With that Courtney Messingham play calling, he's not being put in good positions, and I will give Deuce credit, because Deuce, he's having a hell of a year. Like, he really is. He's having a hell of a year. It doesn't matter how bad the play calling is. Like, he is a guy. Guys can't bring him down. And he and Joe Urban are a hell of a 1-2 punch. But just talk about a waste of a 1-2 punch, because, like, that's it. Like, that's all they have is those two. And they're doing great. I mean, they're doing great, but, gosh, you just have an office coordinator that's just so predictable. And it's just wasting this talent. And I hate wasting talent, Eddie. Especially at K-State, where it's so hard to get it. when you can get a guy like Deuce, you got to take advantage of it.
I was just about to say that.
We were talking about Jeff Mitty and, I'm blanked on her name now. The center.
Ioka Lee.
Ioka Lee. You've got someone like Ioka Lee.
Yep.
Who's a once-in-a-generation.
Preseason.
K-State women's basketball to have the season they did with her. Like, you can't waste that. Like,
yep.
K-State can't waste Deuce. It's kind of like, you know, K-State basketball couldn't waste Jacob Boland, and they didn't. I mean, they could have made a Final Four, but they didn't. Like, when you get guys like that in there, or girls like that in there, you've got to take advantage of it. And they're just wasting just some great talent from Deuce. Really frustrating. Really frustrating me. But I really do think this is messing games last year. Regardless of what happens, I can't see it, Eddie. I can't see him coming back. I really can't. I'm not saying the same thing about Klanderman, but I just can't see Messingham coming back because we said he had to change. He's not changing.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Read off the rest of these tweets here. So we begin to close out this episode here, which has been quite a fun one, actually, here tonight on the Pro Project Podcast here. Let's see. I want to give a couple of shout-outs here. Obviously, we're going to, at some point, get Keithan on the podcast. We've been saying that for over a year now. We're going to definitely try to make that happen. He was on the thread. Shout-out to Dr. Kelly. Can't read the rest of his handle, but he said, and I hate to say it, but there's been absolutely zero quarterback progress with Klein as quarterback coach. We can talk about that tonight. Love the guy, but he's got to go. Somebody like that. Also, shout out to @JarrettSutherland. I think Klein get next year as well, but the OC and DC need a hard look. And yeah. Shout out to @R_BSAL. Excuse me. K-State fans are giving him the Weber treatment for some dumb reason. He's our guy. I be saying I told you so when he wins a Big 12 title. Yeah, he's got a long way to go to do that. Long way to go to do that because, we're going to lose Skylar next year and we might not have no quarterback. And then K-State Wildcats 3-3, KC Chiefs 3-3. He said, bro, we ain't winning with this blank, with this staff.
He wasn't buying it.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm definitely going to comment on this, telling these folks of yours to tune in the podcast and listen.
Hey, they're not my folks. I don't know where the heck they came from.
Well, we're going to tell them anyways. We're going to spread the word. We're going to tell these folks that they can listen to our podcast.
They just showed up, and all that, and my phone just kept dinging and dinging and dinging because I don't get tweets. People don't just tweet at me like that. So all night long on Saturday, my phone just kept dinging and dinging and dinging from that tweet.
Yeah, so definitely, I will definitely come up with something in regards to Alex's tweet on this episode of the podcast. Was everything, we're right on point with everything we talked about tonight, whether it's Iowa State or this past year's games. has this feeling, again, trending in the wrong direction. We started 4-1. I said this on the latest episode. I said this on there, too. I'm going to say it again. We started 4-1 last year, and we got all hyped on the hype train about the Big 12 title. And I know we've said this a lot on this podcast, but it might be trending that way. But obviously, K-State ain't contending anyways. They haven't even won a Big 12 conference game yet, and they need to get this game somehow, some way. I don't care how you do it, but you better go down a little bit and be ready to play. I don't care how you do it. I don't care how you manage to do it. Like the Braves, hey, at this point, what they play, opposite of the K-State, they've been one of the hotter teams, if not the hottest team, in the postseason. But, hey, at this point, I don't care how you get it. I don't know how you get it done. just go out and get it done, K-State.
Get it done.
Go out and get it on the road. Love it. I know Scott Thompson's gonna be ready. He's been.
He'll be ready.
We know he's gonna be ready. Deuce Vaughn, yeah. We know he's gonna be ready to play. Joe Irvin, yeah. We know he's gonna be ready to play. Big question: is anyone else gonna be ready to play? That's the big question. Going down there to that long, long road trip down there to Lubbock, Texas. I know they're gonna be flying down there, but you know that long trip down there to Lubbock, Texas, to take on Texas Tech, who has 2 wins in conference play, smashed KU last week, and obviously, I actually want to go up here. Kind of want to close in on this comment here about the coaches. Let's see. Yeah, so I want to end this episode talking about this. So shout out to at RCJ Graves. So he says, where will you rank Klieman's coaching job this season in the Big 12? Not counting Leipold, because that's impossible to gauge yet. Obviously, Lance Leipold, for those who don't know, is the new KU Kansas head coach, taking over for the sorry-ass Les Miles. That's impossible to gauge yet. I mean, how does Aranda, Dave Aranda, head coach of Baylor, how does Baylor have a 5-1 in KSU 3-3? And then, of course, you commented that you said that Aranda looks better, which I agree with.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, we've been on a Neil Brown hype train for quite a while now. So, but obviously, West Virginia is underperforming this year for some reason. I don't know why, because I'm just more disappointed in them.
I don't understand
what's going on in West Virginia. Who knows? But yeah, so 5-1 Baylor, and they're right there in contention to contend for a possible Big 12 title again. And meanwhile, K-State Wildcat still without no win and still at the bottom. And we have not gone. What is this now? We've gone over an hour on this podcast. We haven't even mentioned the fact that 8 straight conference losses, if I'm not mistaken.
8.
That's a problem.
No, this is a problem. That's a problem.
8 straight losses in the Big 12.
That can't happen, period. And then, look, that's just, gosh, I'm not trying to sound like Mr. Debbie Downer, but that's unacceptable. 8 straight Big 12 losses at Kansas State University. Okay, I know I said at the beginning of this, like, just remember who you are. We're not Oklahoma. We're not Alabama. We're not, you know, these schools. But I'm going to say it again with a completely different tone. Let's remember who we are. Yes, we're not those schools. But no, we are not KU. We are not Duke football. We are not, heck, Eddie, I'll take it a step further. Iowa State, they're good right now. But we're not Iowa State. Look at our history. We've been a hell of a lot better program than Iowa State's been. Look at the history of a bunch of these other Big 12 programs. K-State was third in the Big 12 in wins the last decade. And the last decade was, I would call it a good decade. The decade before was even better for K-State. And, I mean, this is a football team, a football program that once the Snyder took over in, 1989, This has been a really, really good football program that wins a lot of football games. And in the prime of their time, in the late 90s, early 2000s, early 2000s, this team was winning. This team won double-digit games like, 4 years in a row or 4 or 5 years or something like that?
Yeah,
I mean, this team was dominant. And then Snyder comes back, 2.0. We see it again. And when I'm at K-State, they win. They win 10 games my freshman year. They win 11 games my sophomore year. They win 8 my junior year. And they win 9 my senior year. And, like, this is a school that has a lot of pride and has been really good at football for about the last 30 years. So an 8-game losing streak in Big 12 play is unacceptable. It just is. That should not happen at Kansas State University. So I'm flipping the script. I said, remember who you are at the beginning, because we're not the blue blood. And at the same time, remember who you are. You're not a team. You're not a university that loses 8 straight Big 12 games. That should never be okay, ever. Not at this school, not at the level, not at the bar that Snyder set for this program. That should never be okay with the bar that Snyder set for this program. So, I don't know what K-State's got to do, but they've got to snap that Eddie, because that's unacceptable, and that cannot continue on. And it's just that simple. And that's embarrassing. That should be an embarrassment for this coaching staff. That should be an embarrassment for this roster, for these players who have been on the last two teams. But that's just not okay. And you have got to find a way to snap that. And man, Eddie, if that thing gets to 9, if that thing gets to 10. That's just another reason why that Klieman seat could be heating up. Because it's not just the fact that they're off to the slow start this year. It's the fact that they haven't won a Big 12 game in over a year.
Yep, I mean, you got to go back to KU
last year. You got to go back to KU last year. I mean, that's a problem. That is a big, big, big problem. And you can make excuses of COVID. You can make excuses of injuries. You can make these excuses. But did we ever hear Bill Snyder make excuses? No. You just never heard it. The next man stepped up, and they found a way to get the job done. Has the cultural landscape changed since Coach Snyder's coach? 100%. Absolutely. It's a different landscape. It probably hurts K-State more now than it used to, because K-State used to just be able to eat up all those JUCOs.
Yep. JUCOs.
But still unacceptable. It's still unacceptable. And you should never lose 8-0. So, you know, that's really what I got on that. I mean, just, you got to end it. And the sooner you can end it, the sooner you can forget about it, and the weight of that can be off your shoulders, and you can go out and just play ball and get wins. That's what they need. That's what they need, starting in Lubbock on Saturday.
Yep. We all hope the streak ends on Saturday, 11 a.m. on FS1. K-State, 3-3, 0-3 in Big 12 play, taking on Texas Tech. Red Raiders, 5-2 overall, 2-2 in conference play. Yeah, and also another thing, kind of to circle it all back into one before we close it out. And also on top of that, not having a team ready to play, having a bye week and then not being ready to play, that is also an issue. So, it all comes full, all comes full circle, losing 8 straight conference games. That's something, and hopefully we can break the streak, or the Sharks are gonna we're gonna invite more Sharks to the party if this losing continues. Everybody hates to lose. Let's just put it: everybody hates to lose. Nobody likes to see their favorite college team. Nobody likes to see their favorite NFL team, whether it's the Chiefs, Falcons, Titans, whatever. Nobody likes to see the team. Everybody hates losing, right? Yes, we're 3-0. We went 3-0 in non-con play. But the moneymaker is the conference, and I haven't seen no improvement. Don't give me the excuse that we played 3 big toughest teams. We all knew that. We all knew that going into this year that Oklahoma, Iowa State were definitely going to be hard games. We understand that. The fact that you had to get at least one of those games, in my opinion, and I predicted, I thought we would get Iowa State. I really thought we did. At home, bye week, and you didn't get it done. So that's not my fault. That is the coach's fault. That is the player's fault. Everybody is to blame for not being ready to play. So I'm going to leave it like that. So hopefully K-State will learn their lesson and find a way to win this game. You got to win this game Saturday. Got to win this game. Got to beat the Red Raiders.
Must win. Must win. I mean, look, you've got a stretch, I think, coming up here for K-State where you've got, I'll say it again, I predicted they'd lose these first 3. But listen to K-State's next 4 games, Eddie. You got Texas Tech on the road. You come home against TCU. You've got KU on the road. And you come home against West Virginia. There is some meat on the bone to be had there in those next four games. K-State needs to go out. They need to take care of business in those four games. They have got an opportunity to, we mentioned this before the season began in a preview. This is the spot. This is the spot where K-State can eat, Eddie. This is the spot where they can take advantage of the schedule getting softer. Because it's going to tighten up again at the end, because they end the season with Baylor at home and then at Texas.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a tough ending. I still think that K-State can beat Baylor at home. I still don't think Baylor's as good as Iowa State. But it's still going to be a tougher end of the schedule. But those middle four games, at Texas Tech, TCU, at KU, West Virginia, I'm going to be 100% honest, Eddie. I think they should win all four of those games. They should. I'm not saying they will, but they should win all four of those games, in my opinion. I think they're the better football team. I think that they're the better. Well, okay. Let me take that back. I'm not going to say they're the better football team, necessarily, because some of those schools might have a little bit more talent. TCU might have a little more talent. West Virginia might have a little more talent. In my opinion, though, those are the four games K-State should win. And this is the time. This is the time. You're going up against a Texas Tech squad that you've owned. You've dominated. Then you're going up against a TCU squad that has already, they're 1-2. They're 1-2 in conference play. You're going against a Texas Tech squad that's 2-2 in conference play, and they have not beaten a conference team. The teams, I'll put it this way, the teams that Texas Tech have beaten are winless in conference play. So, that's what they've done. And TCU, they're 1-2 in conference play. KU, winless in conference play. West Virginia, winless in conference play. These next four games, Eddie, we're going to learn a lot about this team. Because K-State should be winning these games. And if they're not winning these games, that is a problem. If they do win these games, faith may be restored. Leave, and all is good in Manhattan. So, if K-State can come out, if Coach Prime can come out, he can beat Texas Tech, he can get on a run, K-State can win some of these games, people are going to shut up. I mean, they are. And that's going to be good for everyone. It's going to be good for the players, it's going to be good for the fans, it's going to be good for the coaches, it's going to be good for everyone. If they can't, Eddie, then that's a problem. So, We're gonna learn a lot, and that's why I told everyone, let's wait to see how this season ends, because we're
going to
learn a lot here the next month and a half.
Yeah, that is exactly correct. I could not have said that any better than that. Sandstorm is playing. You know what time it is. Close out the podcast. What an episode here on the Promo Project Podcast. We are back, weekly edition, and I'm working around the Braves playoff schedule, so it is a travel day for the Braves and Dodgers. Game 3 is 3 and 4 and 5 if necessary at Dodger Stadium. Braves have a 2-0 lead as I'm recording this on late Monday night, so they get ready for the middle stretch. Man, it's going to be interesting. We just need one, as much as I'd like to get two, I don't think it's going to happen. But as you guys have seen, crazier things have happened. So it's going to be tough. But all we need is one, pretty much to guarantee ourselves Game 6 back in Atlanta to hopefully knock out the world champs out of the postseason. So. Yeah, and the Braves will win the series and go to the World Series.
Wow.
Yeah,
so.
that's what we're all hoping for, at least, anyway. So, but we'll just have to see. Dodgers, obviously, good team, talented team, and all that. But we're going to a place that we have not played very well. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens these next couple of days. But very exciting about that. K-State is going to a place where they need to win. Down in Lubbock. So, Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden, again, the Promo Project Podcast, weekly edition, back in gear. Again, we're working around the playoff schedule once the Braves are eliminated, which hopefully will be at the end of the postseason.
We'll be back to hopefully two episodes a week. So apologize for you guys. If you're looking for two episodes, you're just going to get the one like we used to when I started this podcast. But this was a really good episode. So Alex Aiden, Eddie Greer, I'm going to let Alex close us out. You can have the last say, final words, and you can close us out. This has been a good one.
It's been a good one, Eddie. And I'm going to just close it out saying I think KC gets the win on Saturday. I'm going to go after that. I think Skyler comes in. Skyler plays well. KC gets the win. They get the train back on the track. And we'll be back next week, hopefully talking about another KC.
Purple Project Podcast. Get it wherever podcasts are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.